Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Taking Stock Live. My name is Kalila Reynolds. It's my pleasure to be with you yet another week. I am traveling this week, so I'm not in the usual place, but the show must go on. We get it done as usual. Now, Fleetwood Jamaica is expanding, and if you've never heard of them, you're going to learn a lot about this company and what they have in store, because their latest acquisition saw them spending $70 million, Jamaican dollars, on the purchase of Starfish Oils, the aromatherapy brand. How will this takeover unfold? We're going to break it down. But before we go, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so just yet. And let me know in the comments where you're joining us from, what part of Jamaica and what part of the world. I love to see people joining us from all over the place. Now here's a look at what's coming up in tonight's show, followed by What's Hot in Business. And come on, let's get this money.
On this episode of Taking Stock, Fleetwood Jamaica announced their acquisition of Starfish Oils. The deal is set to significantly expand the Fleetwood range of products. But how will it impact the company's growth and profitability? CEO of Fleetwood, Richard Coe, joins us live to share more on this major milestone. And the analysts weigh in on the latest market developments. Guardian Holdings' annual report for 2023 is out. How did they perform? We'll discuss. But first, here's What's Hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. King's Counsel Tom Tavares Finson, the attorney representing Alliance Investment, and its former principals Robert and Peter Chin, says his clients will be suing the Bank of Jamaica and Financial Investigations Division for damages done to their personal and professional reputations. The news follows last week's announcement that Alliance was cleared of all 17 charges laid against them by the BOJ and FID. Alliance and the Chin brothers were charged in late 2021 for several breaches of the Bank of Jamaica Act and the Banking Services Act. Alliance would go on to sell all of its business assets, and the Chins stepped down from their positions within the group of companies. Tavares Finson said the FID's incompetence caused serious damage to the Chin's reputation. The government is setting aside $150 million to help alleviate water challenges caused by persistent drought conditions. According to Prime Minister Andrew Holness, the money will be used to facilitate the trucking of water and buying and distributing water tanks to hard-hit areas. 50 of the 63 constituencies will each receive an initial $1.5 million, while constituencies in the parishes of Hanover, Westmorland, Clarendon and St. Elizabeth will receive $2.5 million each. The Prime Minister said municipal corporations in Clarendon, St. Elizabeth and Westmorland will each receive an additional $5 million for drought mitigation efforts, while the Hanover Municipal Corporation will receive $7.5 million. Jamaica Broilers has teamed up with Trinidadian conglomerate Hadco to put the poultry brand Best Dressed Chicken on shelves in the Twin Island country. The collaboration marks Best Dressed Chicken's entry into the Trinidadian market and will see its products, which include chicken tenders, nuggets, breast strips and others, being available in supermarkets across the country. Verticast Media Group is asking the courts to force Digicel and Cable & Wireless to broadcast its C-Sport channels on their cable network in Jamaica. According to the lawsuit, Digicel and Cable & Wireless, which operates as Flow in Jamaica, have refused to show Verticast's C-Sport channels throughout the region since they were outbid 2 years ago for the English Premier League over the 2022 and 2024 seasons. Verticast is also seeking monetary compensation from what it says is a lost business from the actions of both Digicel and Flow. As Apple sales continue to decline in China, the tech giant is reportedly shifting its docks to India. iPhone sales in China fell by 24% in the first 6 weeks of 2024, forcing the company to look elsewhere. According to Bloomberg, Apple produced $14 billion US dollars worth of iPhones in India last year. The company is also reportedly trying to diversify its supply chain because relations between the US and China have worsened. Apple now manufactures around 14% of its iPhones in India, which is double the amount it produced there last year. What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
It's finally over. All four lessons in money marketing are done and uploaded to Money Mission, so you can watch the videos now. I've literally shared almost everything I know about social media and business. You want to know how I've been successful, how I've grown my platforms, how I get people to buy? Take money marketing. Let's get this money. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. It's another episode of Taking Stock. Let me see where you guys are checking in from this week. Let's start out with, let me see who we have. Oh, where did it go? Where did it go? Comments. All right, here we go. Starting out with Kish checking in from London. We got Nana Sense viewing from far, far away as usual. Oren says Ocho Rios in the building. Humble Boss is checking in from Negril. Roswell shouting out from Unity Hall. We got Roger all the way in Philly. We got Jackie in Kingston 7. We got Dr. Lithium who is outside. We got Orlando in Grange Hill. Kish from London. And Robert says from a flight deck heading to luncheon in South Korea. That's X-Ray Designs. Big up yourself. You are far, X-Ray Designs. Today we have Strong Link in Manor Park and Michael in Portmore. I'm actually joining you today all the way from Miami, not as far as South Korea, but I'm not in Jamaica this week. But like I said, the show must go on as usual. Today we're talking about Fleetwood Jamaica. They are a major player in Jamaica's distribution network. And the news this week is all about their acquisition of Starfish Oils. And so, of course, our viewers start wondering, could an IPO be next? What do they have up their sleeve? Joining us to discuss is CEO of Fleetwood Jamaica, Richard Cole. Thanks for joining us, Richard. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Kalilo. Thank you for having me.
And some people may know you as the Vice President of the JMEA, Jamaica
Yes.
Manufacturers and Exporters Association. I was like, I know that name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, JMEA, that's where I know you from.
We met several years ago. We haven't crossed paths recently, so hopefully we will.
Right, it's been a while. So for those who don't know much about Fleetwood, give us some background on the company.
Okay, so the history of Fleetwood was that it was started by two Irish brothers from Ireland. They moved to Jamaica to start a paintbrush manufacturing company in November 11th, 1971, a couple months after my birthday. And they operated the company.
Birthday meaning the day you were born?
Date of birth, yes, the day I was born. So yes, I've dated myself. So they owned the company until the 80s, and they moved back to Ireland in the 80s, and the company was then acquired by a gentleman by the name of Peter Clare. And Peter held on to the company until 2019, when I acquired the company from him. So Fleetwood is a company comprised of three divisions. So we have the Fleetwood Home Improvements division, which comprises of products that we manufacture, which are paintbrushes, rollers, mops, wall filler. And we also distribute home improvement products, and we have trucks that go around the island distributing those products. The second division is around manufacturing services, and we manufacture personal care products. So we manufacture products such as the well-known award-winning Zimmy hair care line. We also manufacture Top Brass, which is an Amazon bestseller. Laundry.
Top Brass. I know a very popular brand, good for dandruff, I hear.
Absolutely. We also manufacture Glory laundry detergent, and also the Smart hand sanitizer that was very successful during the COVID era. And we also distribute a range of products for companies such as Revlon, Cream of Nature, Miele, and a host of others. I won't go through all of them, but all of them are beauty care products. Mm-hmm. And now we have a third division, and that division is Starfish Oils, which makes a variety of products, some of which are behind me. We have the No Mosquito candles. We have aroma candles. We have No Mosquito spray, massage oils, essential oils, soaps, bath salts, body scrubs. So there's a range of products that we have now added to the Fleetwood portfolio.
Interesting. So because you are a distributor and manufacturer, people might not be as familiar with the name Fleetwood, because you're not putting out the brand Fleetwood as a brand that you'd see on the shelves, but the brands that you just listed are very familiar to many of the people watching. So Absolutely. Tell me a bit about yourself. And by the way, this is, like you said, this is no new company, over 50 years in business, which is quite a tremendous feat. So tell me about yourself, Richard. How did you get started in business?
My earlier years was in banking and finance. In London, I worked for some of the top financial institutions, Nationwide, NatWest, and HSBC. I was a manager of financial advisors. I would train them to give financial advice. And in 2012, I moved back to Jamaica and did a stint in finance and debt finance. And in 2016, an opportunity presented itself for me to join Fleetwood with an aim to acquire the company within 3 years. And on the third year, we executed that.
So this was your first foray into business or entrepreneurship business on your own?
In manufacturing. And it's so funny because I used to train and give financial advice, those are intangible type products. And I always had a desire to work with or work for a company that made tangible products. So it was fortuitous for me to be given this opportunity to take over Fleetwood.
One of our viewers wants to know if all the products that you mentioned are being manufactured in Jamaica.
So the products that I've mentioned with regard to Starfish Oils, yes. So all the products you see behind me is manufactured at our 30,000 square foot facility in St. Thomas.
And the others that you, apart from Starfish?
So the Glory laundry detergent. So the products that I mentioned that we're distributors for, no. So the Revlon, we used to actually manufacture for Revlon, but that ended in 2019. And that created an opportunity for us to create our own brand of hair care products. And that's how Zimmy Hair Care was created. So Zimmy Hair Care, Top Brass, Glory Laundry Detergent, those are products that we manufacture at our factory. And then the Revlon, Cream of Nature, Miele, those are products that we import and distribute.
One of my team members behind the scenes like, oh, I use the Zimmy Hair Mousse.
I tell you, it's so funny. There are so many people that now talk about Zimmy. It wasn't so much the case around 2019, 2020. But I'll tell you a story. I went to a villa recently and got into the shower and, you know, pressed on the pump and lathered up, put it in my hair. And I realized this is Zimmy. So I went to the staff and I said, I see that you're using Zimmy. And the staff member said, yes, I love it and my daughter loves it. And this is commonly the feedback that we get when we mention Zimmy and the fact that we manufacture it. So it's a fantastic product and we're really excited about it.
Raquel says, happy customer of Zimmy. I have Tishan saying, interesting. Now I see the connection. Yeah, we're connecting the dots. So this brings us to the Starfish acquisition. Like, how long has this acquisition been on your radar?
A few months, literally. We had our eye on the aromatherapy wellness market. And it was only late last year that we were approached with this opportunity. And within a very short period of time, we entered negotiations, did our due diligence, and acquired the company in January of this year. So it's literally a few months.
A few months. And so they approached you about selling. They wanted to exit. Well,
I was approached by a colleague. I then contacted the owners of Starfish and we entered negotiations. They were actively looking for a buyer for the company.
So there, I was reading the article in the Observer about the deal, and there was a sentence in there that, you know, kind of piqued my interest. So it said, and it's attributed to you, Richard, it says, in this acquisition, Fleetwood did not assume the receivables, liabilities, or equity of Starfish Oils. I was a little bit confused by that sentence, especially, I understand the receivables, yes, and the liabilities, but the equity, so you didn't acquire the equity, I'm confused by that.
So what we did was to buy the business, not the company. We didn't buy the legal person, i.e. the business that has that owns the receivables and assumes all of the debt. What we carved out was the assets of the company. So all the inventory, the machinery, and the trademarks. So those were the assets that we carved out and bought, not the company Starfish Oils. So the business that we acquired was subsumed into Fleetwood, and we now operate Starfish Oils as a brand within Fleetwood.
So what happens to the equity? Because if I'm still confused, like what happens? So who ultimately owns the company?
We own the brand, we own the assets, but any debts or any receivables remains with the former owners. If we had gone through the process of trying to acquire the company, the due diligence would have been much more extensive, and it would have taken a lot longer to acquire the company. And in fact, the timeline that Starfish Oils had to make the sale was quite short. So it was actually the best solution that we could have arrived at to acquire the company, to keep it running, and to make sure that the customers who use the Starfish Oils brand could continue to receive those products.
So what will happen to the Starfish company? You own the assets and the trademark. What will happen to that?
Company is now a shell. It's a shell that is looking to be wound up. But the name Starfish Oils remains because we have acquired the trademark Starfish Oils.
I see. Interesting. I don't think I've heard of it being done quite this way, at least recently, for sure. So that's an interesting move on how you decided to do that. So can you give us some insight into how Starfish has been performing?
Well, over the past years, it had not been performing particularly well, which was one of the reasons why they were looking for someone to acquire the company. But for us, we saw it as a clear opportunity. Our plan and mission is to bring, which we have done, we've brought Starfish into our operations, subsumed it into our operations. And in doing so, we are looking to reduce the operating costs of Starfish Oils so that we make the company more profitable. We're going to be looking to increase the markets that we put Starfish Oils into, and also at the same time reduce costs, and then we will see improved margins, improved profitability. So it had done okay in 2023, but we can see significant increased profitability in the coming months and years.
So you'll be moving the manufacturing to your location where you do Zimmy and those other products?
It has already been done. We have moved all of the operations under Fleetwood.
So you get economies of scale.
Exactly, yes.
And bring down those expenses, bring down those costs.
That's exactly what we're doing. Yep.
I see. And as for Fleetwood in general, I think I saw where I have to find back the numbers. How is Fleetwood doing as a company itself?
We're doing well. So during COVID, our revenues continued to grow. We remained profitable throughout the years of COVID. And in 2023, we had revenues of 716 million, and net profit was on budget at 62 million. So we have a strong financial position, and we are using surpluses to do lots of exciting things, which I guess we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Well, tell me now. I'm ready. When I hear lots of exciting things being funded by surpluses, I want to know.
So on the Starfish Oz line, what we're looking to do is revamp the look, give it a fresh new look. There hasn't been much invested in product development, so we want to make sure that there's a fresh new approach to the Starfish Oils offering. We're going to be expanding product offerings as well. We're focusing on penetrating new markets, that's on the Starfish Oils line. But then we have the Orion side and Fleetwood side that we're doing some really exciting stuff. Our company's always looking to reduce our operating costs, and we've been investing in solar. So we're currently 40% green, and by May this year we'll be 80% green, or using green energy. We've acquired three new pieces of machinery to increase productivity and efficiency. We're going to be looking at buying a new piece of machinery that will help to automate our paintbrush production. And then, yeah, there's just a lot going on, lots of opportunities. And because of this Starfish Oz acquisition over the past couple of days, I've had numerous calls about ideas for new product developments, new partnerships. So it's exciting times.
I'm sure. We have a couple of questions from the audience. Ryan wants to know. Well, Ryan says, smart move, Richard Coe, CEO of Fleetwood, buying the asset and brands. So I presume you would pay some royalty rights to the original owners?
No. When we acquired the assets, a part of the assets was the trademark. So we don't have to pay anyone royalties because we own that trademark. So no is the answer to that question.
Ah, I see. Yeah, makes sense. Next question comes from Stronglink, who says, very creative ownership arrangement, but how is it viewed for tax purposes?
No different. I mean, the acquisition of the assets, I don't think presents any significant tax liability. We haven't been guided as to it being any significant issue to us. I think the tax position will be reflected on our revenues at the end of the year.
So we have a question from Instagram as well, which is, I think this is what a lot of people want to know right now, because we hear, whenever we start hearing about companies making moves and doing acquisitions and plans for growth, we start thinking IPO. So we have Rika on Instagram. Rika says, IPO? Simple question. Are there any plans for that in the mix?
It's an active point of discussion. We are getting advice, lots of discussions about it, but we have not made a decision as to whether we're going to be listing or not. But it is something that we're actively discussing.
Well, is it a situation where you need, like, you have plans that you need funding for?
Every business does, especially if it's your business that wants to achieve exponential growth. When you are a business that relies on, the revenues from your business, cash flowing growth is it can mute your growth, and we recognize that. The idea, the potential of listing can free up a lot more cash, open up a lot more opportunities, and that's why we're giving it a serious thought as to whether we should pull the trigger.
So this particular acquisition was funded entirely in-house.
I will say that it was not We didn't use debt to make the acquisition. I'll leave it at that in terms of how we made the acquisition happen.
Okay. Ryan wants to know, does Fish Oils have its own retail store branches, or if not, do you plan to open your own retail stores or fish oil brands?
We do have one location at Devon House. It's shop number 8 at Devon House. So please, if you want to purchase a Cypherfish Oils line in Kingston, you can go there. You can come to 77 Old Oak Road, which is where our head office is. But you will also find Starfish Oils in numerous supermarkets, gift shops. We're in most of the hotels on the North Coast. So we have a pretty strong and diverse footprint.
How are you on exports? Are you exporting any of these brands currently?
So Fleetwood currently exports to Barbados, Trinidad, Cayman, St. Martin, a couple of the islands. Starfish Oils, I think, has huge potential in finding its place in other markets. So we're traveling to Trinidad and Barbados in May, and we're going to be introducing the lines to our existing distributors. And we see a great opportunity to really penetrate the North American market, the European market. We're making plans to build out a page on Amazon so that we have a full selection of the Starfish Oils products. We clearly understand that there's a massive opportunity to get the Starfish Oils product into different markets.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to it. We can't wait to see Starfish go global, as well as Fleetwood's other brands, Zimmy and all of these things.
Thank you very much. We're looking forward to it.
All the best, Richard, with your new acquisition, your new baby.
Thank you. All right.
Awesome. All right. So viewers, it is now time for our poll question of the week, and it has to do with our lead story in What's Hot. It's a little bit dated because this was our story of the week last week, all about Alliance and what was possibly going to happen. But we want to get you to weigh in on this question now, because we haven't had a chance to poll you, the viewers, about it just yet. So do you think Alliance and the Chin brothers should sue the Financial Investigation Division and the Bank of Jamaica? Yes, their careers were destroyed for nothing. No, the FID and BOJ were doing their jobs. C, are taxpayers going to have to foot the bill if they win? D, it's a waste of time. Other, leave a comment. Interesting. Let us know over on X, formerly known as Twitter, or also on the community tab of our YouTube channel. You can also leave a comment in the chat. Now, I want to know, have you joined the Money Mission community just yet? If not, here is a clip of what you may be missing. Take out the money for investing first. What they call pay yourself first. You probably heard this concept before. Right. It has to go in your budget. It can't be the what left. It can't be that, oh, if I have any money left over, then I'm going to invest it. It has to be the money that comes out first. All right, welcome back. Do we have an ad here? No. All right, so just remember to hit the like button. Up next, we've got your market recap, and the analysts are standing by. Hey, moneymakers, join the KRM fam with our official merch. Get it now at KalilaReynolds.com. Let's get this money.
The JC Combined Index was mostly flat last week. 125 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the week ending Friday, April 12, 2024. 58 made gains, 56 lost value, and 11 stayed the same. 143 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $514 million. Spurtree Spices was last week's most traded stock. It took up 42% of market volume with 61 million shares trading. The stock gained 3 cents to open the new week at $2.50. Trans-Jamaican Highway traded the second highest. The stock lost 3 cents to open Monday at $3.20. And Wigton rounded out last week's most traded with 15 million shares changing hands. The stock lost a cent to open Monday at $1.14. Now let's see who had the biggest gains for the week. The Lab was the market's biggest gain, up almost 28% last week. The stock opened Monday at $1.71. MFS Capital Partners was the week's second biggest gain, up almost 23%. And Express Catering was up 19% to close the week at $4.40. On the losing side now, First Rock Real Estate Investments was the week's biggest loser. The stock lost 18% to open Monday at $10. Margaritaville Turks had the second biggest dip. The stock lost 13% to open the new week at $14.11. And Lasca Financial Services lost 12% to close the week at $1.67. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index was mostly flat last week. Massey was the most traded stock. It lost 2 cents to open Monday at $4.35 TT. Prestige Holdings was the biggest gain of the week. The stock was up 12% to start the week at $14 TT. And on the losing side, Point Lisas Industrial Port Development fell over 9% to open Monday at $3.70 TT. Over in the U.S., the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 were both up about 2% last week, while the Nasdaq was down roughly 1%. With the price of 87 gas going up $2.40 and 90 up $2.57. On the other hand, diesel prices climbed $2.63. In foreign exchange, it took an average $156.18 Jamaican to purchase $1 last Friday. Meanwhile, it took an average $113.45 Jamaican to purchase $1 Canadian. One British pound cost on average $194.60 Jamaican. And you could buy 1 euro for $168.63 Jamaican on average. Finally, on the crypto markets, Bitcoin prices were down 6% over the past 5 days, trading at $66,321 US on Monday, while Ethereum prices fell 8%, trading at $3,246 US on Monday. Disclaimer: this is not intended as financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Welcome back. It's time now for the analysts. And before I introduce our analyst for this evening, let me take some of your comments. First coming from Delroy, who said, I listen to Mrs. Reynolds on all other platforms, but never before on her own platform. Welcome to YouTube or Facebook, Delroy. Yes, you're on YouTube. Looking forward to continuing UK blessings. Thank you very much. I think you just left. So I hope you got a chance to see this, or at least you watch it in the replay. Delroy says, that company is owned by father and son, and it's been operating for over 95 years by the same family tree. Are you referring to Alliance or Fleetwood? Well, Fleetwood is 50 years, so it must be Alliance. Sean says, yes, sue them. Absolute rubbish. BOJ needs to do better with the information. Jermaine is saying hi from China. Hi, Jermaine, all the way on the other side. Lanezra said Alliance wanted to sell their company long time from they were looking to IPO. Sean again says the persons that decide to make that move should also get fired from the BOJ and the FID. And then Stronglink says the Chin brothers were my schoolmates. Brilliant guys. It's a disgrace what was done to them. And then we have couple of comments over on Instagram. So Plethora's Fabulous, shout out to Plethora's Fabulous joining from Portmore. Shout out also to Ham Reese in Florida. And who else we have? I think I saw somebody else commenting on Instagram as well, but I'll shout you out later when I see the comment. So time to introduce our analyst for the week, and that is business writer at the Jamaica Observer, David Rose. Welcome back, David.
Hey, Kalila. It's pretty
Are you doing?
interesting that it's just me this week.
Yeah, I don't know why I feel like I haven't seen you in a long time. I know it's not been that long, but it just feels
Saw
that
you in
way.
February.
Maybe I just miss you.
Boy, Kalila, it's been a what? A crazy call it 4 going 5 years now.
Yeah, for real. This year
Remember that
is crazy.
return back return to April 2019?
Absolutely. So today we're discussing Guardian Holdings annual report for 2023. What's going on with Guardian, a subsidiary of NCB, by the way?
So just to give some overlay or context, so Guardian Holdings Limited is a Trinidadian-based insurance financial conglomerate. It's an NCBFG subsidiary, NCBFG being NCB Financial Group, owning 61.77% interest in GHL. And GHL has some very iconic subsidiaries here in Jamaica. So you have Guardian Life Limited here in Jamaica and Guardian General Insurance. And Guardian Holdings, came to Jamaica during the FinSat days and benefited tremendously by acquiring some of the failed insurance companies. And that's how we got these two companies we know today in Jamaica. So in the case of Guardian Life Limited, apologies, Guardian Holdings Limited, they just released, their 2023 audited financials alongside their 2023 annual report. So to give some level of context, Guardian Holdings, is spent planning to spend about 45 million US, about that's about probably 2.4 billion TT on a new Oracle system, to further consolidate the back office of Guardian Life Limited here in Jamaica and Guardian Life of the Caribbean based in Barbados. And this is all part of just, further implement technology to further make operations more smooth, reduce some back office friction, and make it easy for the customer. So in the case of GHL, they had implemented IFRS 17 last year, which should have impact in how the accounting for insurance is treated. So 2022 would have been the last year GHL would have been using IFRS 4, which is the old insurance standard. They're using IFRS 17 now. So as a result, everything has been restated. So as a result, under the new restated financials, their revenue went up by 27% to $7.57 billion TT, just to give that context. And although Jamaica only makes about 26% of revenue, Jamaica makes up 57% of the 399 million, TT net profit. Apologies, that should be about 400 million TT, but that kind of shows the picture in terms of how big Jamaica is in terms of contribution. And they mentioned how the Dutch Caribbean, which includes the ABC Islands and in extension to the Netherlands, how is their one of their fastest growing markets. It's about 22% of their net profit and around similar margins for their revenue has also been contributing pretty well. In Jamaica in particular, they're still trying to fully dispose of the remaining units at the Cambridge. So for those who haven't or still don't read newspaper anymore, back in July last year, 2023, Guardian Life would have put out an advertisement, offering a $2 million J discount on the properties at the Cambridge. And that's along Musgrave Avenue, where Guardian Life Limited's headquarters is. And basically, that ad had that ad back in July 2023. Back here, April 2024, have the same ad out again. The head of life and pension, Eric Hosen, pointed out that they had about 50 units back in August around that time, have a little over 40 still remaining on their books right now. So that's probably reflecting just the general stickiness with interest rates being so high, alongside, persons being relatively more conservative on certain purchases right now, questioning on being equal. So, that's one of the major highlights coming off of GHL's 2023 financial year, and you're looking to, you know, really spend heavier and go at it harder in 2024 as they, you know, look to deploy more capital towards Europe and the Netherlands, alongside, you know, growing the base further in Trinidad alongside Jamaica. One key point, and I'm glad you mentioned NCB earlier, Khalilah, is that Bruce Bowen has been proposed to be elected to GHL's board. So for those who don't know, Guardian Holdings Limited has this AGM around May 2, actually. In Trinidad, it's going to be hybrid, so Jamaican shareholders can actually watch virtually. And Bruce Bowen is being proposed to put onto GHL's board. So for those who don't recall, Bruce Bowen is the current NCB Jamaica CEO, the bank. He's also on the NCB Financial Group board. And this is just further integration of Bruce into the NCB Financial Group. He's also the chairman as well of NCB Capital Markets. So let's give some further context into just this deeper integration alongside all that's happening.
It's a lot going on with Guardian, for real. I have Sean has a question. Sean wants to know, what denomination does GHL pay dividends in, TT or USD?
So Ian Shinapu, the CEO, explained this. So if you're based in TT, Trinidad and Tobago, you get paid TTD. If you're based in Jamaica, you get Jamaican dollars. If you're based anywhere else, you get US dollars.
Oh.
So I hope that makes some sense. So yeah, you probably have some TT shareholder, well, Trinidadians, you know, based probably in USD or wherever, and you need to get their dividends, so they get it in USD. So you have those companies that, you know, might declare a dividend in one currency, but satisfy the needs of shareholders in different jurisdictions, they pay a different currency. So for example, you have Epley Carbon Property Fund, Value Fund, they declare Barbadian dollar dividends, because that's their reporting currency. But they pay US dollar dividends to us here in Jamaica.
No, so, that is that we get paid dividends in JMD. It's USD?
No, so GH for Guardian Holdings, if you're based in Jamaica.
Sorry, Katrina thought. Okay, gotcha.
No worries. And for example, like when NCB and GK paid dividends in Trinidad, it's obvious that the shareholders, they are going to get paid TTD. So it's just really based on where you're domiciled in effect as to what currency you'll get paid in for those who are listening right now. Any other comments from the chat, Khalilah?
What's that?
Any other comments in the chat?
I think I saw one more. Well, it's on a completely different topic. So let's just wrap up with Guardian first. Anything else you wanted to mention on Guardian before? Well, Stephen wants to know, is there a dividend calendar?
So I don't have a dividend calendar on hand, but in terms of Guardian Holdings, they follow a semi-annual dividend structure. So pay out in April after the financial and audited numbers come out, pay out around September when the first 6 months numbers have been published and have occurred already. So that's really it with GHL.
Okay, and then we had a follow-up question coming from Sean, who wanted to know, so do you convert the TTD declaration to JMD?
When you get the dividend stub or they remit the notice, they actually been paid, you see what the actual amount is. It's like you have a fixed rate you can use, or you can go on the BOJ website and say, hey, this is what I'm going to get paid at. It's something you actually just know when you actually see it show up on your account and you see the actual notice remitted to you as to what the rate was used in that case.
I think we might be having some internet challenges. I don't know why our viewership numbers are so low. That is very unusual, but then questions are still coming in the chat. So something is up here. I don't know what's going on, but we have some questions in the chat. Let me ask them. Sean, again, so do you convert? No, I asked this one already.
Yes, John, you did.
John, does a shareholder have the option of receiving their dividends in USD or JMD? So you said if you're in Jamaica, you get JMD, but can you ask to get USD dividends?
Boy, you'd have to ask Guardian that question, to be honest.
Okay, I'm being informed that it might be JPS is the issue. Maybe some people are dropping off because of electricity issues. What's going on? Like I said, I'm off the island today, so I don't know what's happening.
Oh, well, JP's just picking some mangoes on Sunday in Portmore, but yeah, you know, JP's had some disruptions recently. They mentioned, for example, you know, some accidents at light posts. So that's probably one situation. Probably with increased heat, you have probably just some overloaded, you know, systems. Could be that, but it's been a very active week, Kalila. Riverton, you know, JPS, like Jamaica is keeping as usual.
I'm being told power surges all over the island, so a lot of things are going on. Let me see. You had a couple other questions as well from Ricardo. So Ricardo wanted to know, how does GHL compare to Sagicor? And he said the market has been largely ignoring GHL. Is this due to large nominal price, PE much less than Sagicor?
So really, GHL versus Sagicor, I would need to convert to USD to give a fair estimation. So GHL is one of the few companies that actually publishes a US dollar rate sheet for their financial statements whenever they're published. So if I was to convert Sagicor Group Jamaica's numbers to USD, I probably get a fair estimate to give you. But basically, I know that, you know, in Jamaica, Sagicor Life, which is Sagicor Group's largest operating subsidiary, does bring in more profit than Garden Life Limited here in Jamaica. But I would still need to, you know, do some comparisons, basically using Sagicor Financial Company's numbers versus what GHL is audited to get some context. But they're fairly large beasts. So for context, you're talking about Sagicor Group Jamaica being a $570 billion asset company. GHL is 34.8 billion TTD total assets, which translates to a little bit above 700 billion JMD. So I hope that gives some context, Kalila, in terms of the size of the businesses.
Okay. Roswell says, I'd rather Sagicor dividend. No, 96 cents. Is it 96 cents or 0.96 cents?
No, 96 cents. $0.96.
96 cents is good. Long time I don't see such dividend. Good for you, Roswell. Few people weighing in on whatever might be going on. The thing is telling me that we only have two people watching us, which can't be right, because I'm seeing comments from multiple people coming in the chat. So there's no way there's only two people watching. So John says JPS needs competition. Then you will see how they fix the nonsense they love to carry on with. Competition breeds quality, quality that benefits the customer. iBook was saying that the name changed from Taking Stock, so I didn't find it in the search earlier. Did it? I haven't even looked, because the thumbnail says Taking Stock. I'm not sure if you put Taking Stock in the title. It should be in the title, but I'm away, leaving everything up to the team. We have a new producer, as I told you guys last week. Rich says I had a power outage from Sunday. Oh, my goodness. Ryan commenting that GHL pays dividends twice a year, in March, and then in August again. Tremaine, Sean says 130 watching on YouTube. Why did it just say one? I don't know. Maybe it's StreamYard that's giving me an issue, because then RR is seeing eight people on. I don't know what's going on.
It's a crazy night, Kalila. Like,
I don't know. It says one. I really don't know what's going on. Anyway.
Here's a question I was asked earlier, read GHL's PE, and for context, you know, Jamaicans still have a nominal pricing preference. So if a company is trading single digits, double digits, it's more preferred to a company that's trading triple digits. So I have to remember that Guardian Holdings is trading at about 370 Jamaican dollars, trading at about 18 TTD, which is a little over 430 Jamaican dollars when converted. So yeah, pretty cheap in terms of our PE perspective, but if the market doesn't have that stomach for what one would call expensive stocks, then you're going to see that low trading liquidity. Because when you compare it, just 100 units of GHL is about $36,000 vis-a-vis probably getting 36,000 units of just a $1 stock.
Mm. Rodney says, want to be a shareholder soon. sign out. What? Somebody telling me to sign out and sign back in. I'm not gonna bother. We're still, you guys could still see us. I'm not gonna let the number trip me up, although it was just now messing with my mind. But as long as you guys can see us and hear us, we're good. We're soon finished anyway. Sean says Google said one TTD equals 22 JMD. So GHL declared a dividend of 53 cents, which means it's $12.13 JMD. Adding, that's a nice dividend. All right, not bad, not bad. Before we go, we had a comment. Somebody wanted to know what's going on with TJH. You've been eyeing that one? I think I saw it just now in Market Recap, and somebody said it made them cry. What's happening with TJH?
So if you follow TJH for the last probably 3.5 years, you know, since dividends have been paid out, whenever TJH had a dividend declaration, it's pretty strong, pretty large. And, you know, once the X date kicks in, TJH's stock price just goes back down. So, you know, it's a consistent trend. So for those who don't know, if you want to get a dividend, once you own the stock, and the X date arrives, you can sell on the X date and collect a dividend.
Explain what the X date is.
Oh, sorry. So you have three particular dates when a dividend is declared: the X date, record date, payment date. Your X date is the date before the record date. The record date is when whoever is on record at that point, owning whatever number of units, that's how many that will be recorded times the dividend declared to give you your dividend payment. And then the payment date is the day when the dividend is disbursed to your bank or brokerage account. So in the case of TJH, I believe it was probably March 28 was the record date. So you saw TJH have some level of slowdown or just a sleep decline. So they were trading as high as $2.70 earlier in March. You know, persons were expecting probably a higher dividend. And, you know, as it got close to the X date, that's trend down, X date pass, and, you know, it's back down to $3.20. So a 50 cent drop in a sense, you know, it's pretty substantial for some persons. That's more than 13% decline in just, you know, a month. But at the same time, the dividend is being paid next week, Wednesday, the 24th of April. So persons can look forward to, you know, that dividend payment in short order.
So basically people jump in to get the dividend and then jump back out after they get it.
It's a strategy, Kalila. It's called dividend harvesting. You know, you go in, you qualify for the dividend, and you exit as quickly as you can, capture any gains you might have accumulated, and go on to the next stock. You call it a dividend guaranteed, and you just move on.
Dividend then, harvesting. Okay.
And then read TJH as well. You know, they've exercised their right of first refusal for the new phase of the highway, which is Maypen to Williams Field, phase 1C. That has been the freeness of the highway, I should say, has been extended twice. So it was extended to March 31. It's been extended to July 1. Now, so, you know, so they're just kind of waiting for that announcement that TJH has successfully signed the agreement with the NROC, you know, to operate phase 1C, to increase revenue. So TJH is kind of this phase whereby persons are looking at, you know, the potential semi-annual nature of dividends alongside, you know, the new phase of the highway that is potentially coming. So that's another factor to consider as well.
Right. So Orville was just making that point, says factor in the extension for the free toll. And then Sean said, do you believe the announcement from the government about finalizing of that leg being put off to June contributed to the falling price?
That's one factor, but you also have to look at the fact that you would have seen a director sell a substantial number of shares on the market around March 20 to 25. You know, they sold about 9 million shares, which sounds small compared to the total number of TJH shares, but pretty large in context for what the daily volume is in most cases. But yeah, you know, just the extension of the new phase, you know, is potentially weighing on some persons' minds alongside liquidity concerns. Because for many persons, they would have expected that with the announcement of the highway being open in September, TJ should have been operating it already in 2024 to some capacity. So for it to have been pushed back again down to July 1, July 1 might come and it might push on again. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, disparaging in a sense when you think about it, because TGH does make its continued revenue from the Portmore, from the Maypin, from the Spanish Stone Vineyards, and from the Lewis Clarendon and the Portmore leg, but persons still want to get here that new phase has kicked in, because that's their whole business model, just operating the highway. So this highway is open, freeness continuing, and it's not under their purview to operate as it and generate revenue. So
read the dividend harvesting strategy. Lanezra makes a point here. She says you could be losing if you jump in high for dividends and come out low. Because, yeah, you tend to see that build up before the dividend date, that the prices go
next
up. And then after the dividend, then the prices go down. So if you jump in high just to get your dividend and then have to sell off at a lower point, 50 cents in this case, you could end up losing more money than you gain from the dividends.
But the thing is, this is where strategy comes into play, Kalila, because if you realize that the price was potentially going down, or you're setting it to peak off, you could have sold, then just bought back the stock, you know, after it fell to low bar when the X date came around, and you'd have more units on hand to get a bigger dividend later in the year, if anything. So it's, you know, after one way strategy where you just hold until X date, then sell, you know, there are different dynamics to every stock, but at the same time, if you've bought the stock at $1, a 10 cent dividend has been declared, and the stock goes to $1.20, you can potentially consider the selling stock at $1.20 and buying back at $1.10 or $1.05 and having more units on hand instead of just waiting for the dividend and then trying to sell at $1 again. So you as an investor have to strategize how you're going to approach dividends in context, because the market does change. Persons have their different preferences or needs to get cash. So you can't, you know, just have a one-way strategy of, hey, I'm going to hold until the dividend kicks in. You have to be more dynamic. And that also comes down to a longer short-term strategy as well, because in sometimes I will, you know, buy a stock, hold it for the dividend, and based on how I plan my time and what I see in the market, I might just hold it to the end of the month or end of quarter. Not end of quarter in most cases, but end of month. And so when the stock goes up considerably and there's a lot of buying pressure in that particular period, so I get the dividend and I also get the, you know, capital gains. So there are different ways to basically, you know, tackle this, what you call slow market. So, you know, this year, well, come from last year into this year, I was telling persons about preference shares. I was a, you know, just something that was out there. Some preferential are trading below their maturity or par value. You know, for example, JMB GL 6%. JMB changed the terms on that, so it's now 8.5%. That was trading at $1 back in November, trading at $1.19 today. Earlier this year, now in February, JMB GL 5.75C is a US dollar stock, traded at $1.54, traded at $2.215 earlier this year. JMB GL 7.25C traded as low as $1.70 recently, $1.46, trading at $2, $1.99. JMB GL 9.5 now, trading as low as $1, like in November, trading as high as $1.20 or $1.30 right now. So this is just me giving context to the fact that the market is what you call slower for some persons, but at the end of the day, your strategy has to evolve into what value is there in the market you can take advantage of. So
there's always an opportunity, no matter what's going on, there's always an opportunity.
But this is where education, like a taking stock, comes into play, because, you know, I've written about preference shares, I've talked about preference shares like crazy. You know, imagine, Kalila, you getting a preference share at $1.54, you have 100 shares, it's $154, and the preference share matures at $2 within a year. You're getting $46 basically in just free capital gain. And that's before you factor in the dividend you get over that time span as well. So if you're a person right now that's not looking to trade aggressively, that's just one route that could be considered to benefit from some level of stable income flow at a pretty decent yield without taking up certain levels of liquidity or trading risk.
And there seems to be quite a bit of interest in the strategies you're outlining. Tramine wants to know, would compounding the dividends be the best strategy here too?
So you have multiple ways to, you know, take advantage of the market. So you have some persons, they will, you know, well, in the US, for example, you have automatic dividend reinvestment. So like with TD Ameritrade, you just set dividend reinvestment, the dividend is paid out, it automatically reverses back into the stock. And you have persons that, you know, will just set that and go, like get a dividend, buy the stock again, just repeat and continue. And that's how you got some persons, you know, accumulating their pension stock in a sense for probably 10, 20 years. Dividend got paid out, so that what they'd call a fair price, where they just bought more of the stock with dividend payments and just kept compounding them for them. And, you know, in this current environment, you have BOJ CDs. Some brokers are as low as $100,000 minimum to buy in. And I'm just giving all these strategies to just give persons ideas as to other ways that you can think about making money in this environment, because persons are going to say there's not much money, the stock market is slow, but as I'm pointing out, you have different instruments on the stock market. You have BOJ CDs, you have your bank's own CDs. You can, you know, look at the dividend strategy that is coming out to some companies increasing their dividends, so like Dolphin Cove, Trans-Jamaica, Scotia Group. Some of these companies are increasing their dividend payments. And what you are also seeing, which is what I do sometimes in my days, is that some of these stocks are exhibiting, you know, very weak buy side or buy queues. So I will just layer my order into that queue so that, you know, I don't have to necessarily bid up to, for example, $3. I can buy $2.80, for example, instead. And the person mentioned the JMB GL7.35. So JMB has multiple preference shares. And just to give context, the 7.15 and the 7.35, those are fixed rate dividends. So 0.0735 times $3, because that's the par value. Same math basically for the 7.15. The JMB GL9.5, the JMB GL7.25, C7.25, and another one. Those JMB ones are variable rate. So for 2024, the JMB GL9.5 is paying 9.5%. Multiplied by the par value of $1, the JMB GL7.25C is paying about 9.41% annualized for the next year. You have the JMB GL USD preference shares, 5.75C, par value is $2, but 5.75% multiplied by that to give you the annual dividend. So all US loans are fixed as well. And I, you know, for example, bought Airplay at Epley 7.5 at 5.02, par value is 6, 7.5% annualized dividend. So like sometimes I don't trade some days, I just sit back and relax. Like I put out an alert just to know when a particular price has been triggered. But if a deal comes out there and I see it, I'll just get it. And in some instances, if the market is paying a price that is well above, you know, the remaining value on that preference share, in the time, I'll just sell it and put the money to work elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think we need to do a couple of sessions in Money Mission on investment strategies, David, because we have more questions still coming in. We could talk about this all night, but I think we need to organize something in Money Mission on investment strategies to go into more detail. Last question I'm going to take tonight comes from Stephen, and only because Stephen has been very persistent tonight, he's typed this question multiple times to make sure that I see it. So Stephen Bala, you're up. 1GS, I don't know if you've been following 1GS.
1GS Studio.
IPO. He says, thoughts, they just declared an interim dividend and seem to have a lot of cash on hand for acquisition. So your thoughts on 1GS.
Well, it's a good thing that, you know, we've seen such a very recent dividend, you know, subsequent IPO. It might not always sell to some companies so quickly, you know. So, for example, Dollar listed in June 2022. By November, they declared a dividend. So some companies pay out within a 6 months time and after listing. But in the case of 1GS, it's a much higher dividend than last year in context to their pre-IPO dividend. And like cash on hand doesn't just mean acquisition opportunities. It also means they have leverage to do deals or take on particular projects that other firms might not have the capacity to do. So people should always remember acquisitions are one way to grow business, but that same cash they have on hand does give you the buffer to take a risk onto new projects that your competitors might not be able to stretch based on their own financial constraints. So yeah, acquisitions are there, but what about the company taking that same cash, make earning extra from a BOJ CD or repo, alongside taking that same cash to try new ideas or strategies or business lines to grow the business even further?
So I hope that answers your question, Stephen Ree. 1GS, it's about a year now since their IPO?
No, September 2023. That's when they listed. August 2023 was when they IPO.
Feels longer. Feels like it's been forever since we had an IPO.
OneGS was the only IPO for last year of ordinary shares. Mm-hmm. You had Mayberry's bond IPO back in January, listed in March, and you had AS Braddon Holdings listing by introduction in November 2023. So IPOs are kind of scarce now compared to like
2022. I keep hearing about them coming up. Like I keep hearing little things, but it just isn't happening yet. And I already know, like, we know the drill, David. When we start hearing, oh, we expect IPO April, that's probably going to be like October. For the most part, that's how it works. Because the approvals take forever. Even though the company might be gearing to go, you got to wait on those approvals. And the
standards have increased post-SSL.
So. Exactly. All right. Well, that's it for tonight, David. Thank you so much for joining us. Once again, we'll see you.
You're welcome, Kalila. Take it easy, everybody.
We're going to link up in Money Mission. We need to do something in Money Mission on investment strategies.
Sure.
All right, let's take our final break and come back with your comments.
Butterfly in the sky.
What?
I can go twice as high.
So if this is you, download my free e-guide right now, Financial Terms Made Simple. It's a list of 40 commonly used financial terms broken down into simple language. Because don't you just hate when you look up a word and it gives you an even bigger word as a definition? So this is not that. I've made it as easy as possible so you can just whip it out and use it as a quick reference when you hear a term that you don't really understand. That way you don't miss investment opportunities because you were too embarrassed to ask what a bond is or what an IPO is. Let's get this money. All right, let's wrap up with your final comments. Let me see what we have. So John, perfect timing because I was just talking about this. So John says, by the way, Kalila has a great finance mini course on investing. Thank you for the endorsement, John. I appreciate that. Wendy Ann says that my eyebrows are on fleek. Well, thank you, girl. Ibrook saying that the name changed from Taking Stock, so he didn't find it in the search earlier. I think he was referring to the name of the channel. So the channel name was always Kalila Reynolds Media. The channel name is not Taking Stock, but the show is Taking Stock, and you can find that as a playlist under my channel. And usually once you're on the channel, you will see upcoming live stream at the top of the page. So once you're on my channel, it should be pretty easy to find. Tremaine says, big up Cal and the money team. Thank you so much, Tremaine. Big up yourself. Natoya wants to know thoughts on the new NCB bond. I saw that email come in with the offer. The terms look pretty good. It's as high as 12 point something percent. Let me see if I can find the actual numbers. So the minimum investment was, I think, 100,000 JMD. And the interest rates range between 10 and about 12%, probably 12 point something. Let me find it. NCBFG bond is now open. Yes, here it is. It says increase your income. NCB Financial Group Limited, JMD Senior Unsecured Corporate Bond is now open. So you got 2 years. They're looking to raise up to $2.5 billion under that one. And it pays 11.25%, so higher than I even thought. I was saying 10 point something. So it starts at 11.25%. And then 3 years, they're paying 11.75%. And the 5 year, they're paying 12.5% per annum. And all of these interest payments are paid semi-annually. So every 6 months, you're going to get your interest. The minimum subscription is $100,000. They're looking to raise $5.5 billion across all tranches, or $6 billion in the event the offer is upsized. Sounds good to me. Sounds pretty good. NCB is a pretty stable company. I would take a look at their, not just their financial statements, but their credit ratings. So NCB is rated, I think they're rated by Caricris. So I would take a look at their credit ratings. But if you trust that NCB is a stable company and will be able to make these interest payments and repay you your full amount in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, whichever one that you decide to sign up for, it sounds like a pretty good opportunity to me. Bearing in mind that this is not financial advice, I am not your financial advisor. Do consult a licensed financial advisor before making any investment decisions. Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for our show tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for watching yet another week. Thanks again to Richard Cole, CEO of Fleetwood Jamaica, and David Rose, business writer at the Jamaica Observer, for joining us. Make sure that you like the video, subscribe to the channel, and share with a friend. Subscribe to the newsletter at KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter. And turn on the post notification so that you can be the first to see everything when it drops. We want to help people learn more about money so we can all get this money together. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Kalila Ray. And remember, that is my only account, or those are my only accounts. I only have one. There's no backup account. So please report any scammers and impersonators whenever you see them. And if you want to connect with our analyst this week, check the description box below for David's contact information. Also visit the website, KalilaReynolds.com, for financial information you can use however you like it. You can watch, you can listen to the podcast, or you can read our recap articles. Now tell a friend about Taking Stock, because investing is the new sexy. So let's make it cool to talk about money. I'm Kalila Reynolds. Thanks for watching.